This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I guess it's election season. You know how I can tell it's election season? It's not all the bumper stickers and all the yard signs and the TV commercials. You can't even log into something on your phone without getting bludgeoned by it. That's not how I can tell it's election season. I can tell it's election season because Russia's back in the news.
Russia remains a predominant foreign threat to our elections.
Russian attempts to interfere in our elections and influence our society.
The schemes I've just discussed make clear the ends to which the Russian government, including at its highest levels, is willing to go to undermine our democratic process.
Oh my gosh. I guess it's election year because Democrats are once again talking about Russia. And so I thought it would be helpful as we open up the show to discuss why your liberal Aunt Peggy lives in a world of make-believe. We talk about that all the time, how the communists in your life, they believe things that simply are not true. They know things that are not true. But how does that happen? Well, the world of make-believe your liberal Aunt Peggy lives in was constructed for her. And you can go back, we have all the video, we have all the stories there to explain how and why they constructed that world. The whole Russia stuff, it goes really back to Hillary Clinton. Now, I need to pause for a moment, and I need to explain something before I play this little clip of Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is not starting the Russian collusion op that so many liberals believe today. She's not starting that when you look at this video clip. What she's doing is she's putting a little bow on it. You see, before Hillary Clinton stood on the stage and accused Donald Trump of being a Russian agent or however she puts it, Hillary Clinton had already begun working behind the scenes. She was the Democrat nominee. Donald Trump was the Republican nominee. Hillary Clinton, she hired a foreign intelligence agent. Christopher Steele was his name. She hired a known liar, Christopher Steele, and she had him put together a dossier that made Donald Trump look like he was compromised by the Russians, had done dirty things with the Russians. And we know now, keep in mind, we know that all this was false. Christopher Steele made this up. He had dirty sources. All this was false. But she had already worked behind the scenes to create this illusion, a dirt file, if you will, a false dirt file about Donald Trump. After she'd already worked to create that file, got that file in the hands of the FBI, then she stood on the stage and said this.
We have never in the history of our country been in a situation where an adversary, a foreign power, is working so hard to influence the outcome of the election. And believe me, they're not doing it to get me elected. They're doing it to try to influence the election for Donald Trump. Now, maybe because he has praised Putin, maybe because he says he agrees with a lot of what Putin wants to do, maybe because he wants to do business in Moscow. I don't know the reasons, but we deserve answers.
Ooh, we deserve answers. How compromised is this guy? This is from the lady who already had the Russian collusion hoax in the works. She went on television and tied a nice little bow on it and handed it to your liberal Aunt Peggy, who took that false story and began to run with it. And of course, after they began to run with it, after Hillary Clinton put the public bow on it and put that word out, after the hive mind decided that's how they wanted every Democrat drone in the country talking, well, the left-wing pundits, the left-wing politicians, they did as they always do. They got their programming update from the hive mind, and then they ran to social media, television, and everywhere else to disseminate the false information.
There is circumstantial evidence of collusion.
It's super obvious already. He is a Russian asset.
He is clearly a Russian asset.
The president is acting like he is the asset for Russia.
Back then, my biggest fear was we had elected an asset of the Russian government who would sell out America at every opportunity just to save his own hide. My biggest fear now is that I was right.
Do you still believe the president could be a Russian asset?
I think it's possible.
It is a possibility, and I would add to that caveat that whether witting or unwitting, and that is a really painful thing to say.
Hurts me to say it, but probably a Russian asset. Again, all of this was created by Hillary Clinton's campaign, voiced by Hillary Clinton. Democrat politicians, pundits ran to the television, Russian asset, Russian asset, Russian asset. And this entire time, your liberal Aunt Peggy is having the world of make-believe constructed for her. Think of it like a construction project where they're building her false world slowly but surely. They're putting in the landscaping, the buildings. They have the foundation down. Russia, 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 programming her over and over and over again. And once they completed the Russian collusion fake world for her, then that world was made ready for her, ready for them to use against her whenever something came up. And now they can use it and do use it all the time. Remember Hunter Biden's laptop? The FBI gets possession. They get a laptop turned into them by a private citizen who says, hey, this laptop is now mine. There are dirty felonies on here, courtesy of Hunter Biden. The Federal Bureau of Investigation takes the laptop and hid it. They didn't dig into it. They didn't try to expose it. And then they illegally used a wiretap on Rudy Giuliani to find out that the media, the New York Post, was getting ready to publicize a story about the Russian laptop, about the Hunter Biden laptop, I'm sorry, the Hunter Biden laptop. And so what do they do? What can you possibly use? How do you shoot down this very damaging story to Joe Biden? Well, Mark Zuckerberg said it pretty clearly. What did the FBI say to him when they knocked on the door of Facebook?
The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team. It was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump of that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
You see how Zuckerberg and all the other commie drones at Facebook had been programmed with the world of make-believe. And so it was easy for them to buy into the FBI lie that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian collusion. FBI knocked on the door, said it's Russian collusion. These drones had been programmed in the world of make-believe to see Russians under the bed everywhere. They naturally believed it right away and promptly censored the story. Twitter censored the New York Post Twitter account for posting an accurate story because it had to be the Russians, right? This is how they operate. And the media, of course, knowing that liberal Aunt Peggy had the world of make-believe, the Russian world of make-believe created for her, they know she had already been programmed, she had already been conditioned to believe everything was Russian, and so they ran to the media, or they ran to their microphones, and they told your liberal Aunt Peggy this.
Biden secret emails.
A really fishy story.
The Post claimed that the emails were found on a laptop computer that was brought to a repair shop in Delaware in the spring of 2019.
The FBI is now investigating whether those alleged Hunter Biden emails
are actually connected to a larger foreign intelligence operation.
They may be related to a foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence operation.
For all we know, these emails are made up.
The information found on the laptop may be part of a Russian disinformation campaign.
Part of a Russian disinformation effort.
Described by many intelligence experts as having hallmarks.
All the hallmarks, rather.
All the hallmarks of a Russian.
Or Russian disinformation.
Russian disinformation.
Disinformation campaign.
This is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
You see, as Liberal Aunt Peggy sat and watched that, what you saw was lies. What she saw was simply affirmation of what she already knew about her world, the world that had been constructed for her, a world where the right-wingers, the Republicans, Donald Trump in particular, had partnered with Vladimir Putin and the evil Russian government to try to adjust, alter, cheat in American elections. And as soon as the media, FBI, told her that it was the Russians doing it, she had been so programmed by the hive mind that she just simply naturally believed it. And now we have a population, I don't know the percentages, I guess we'll find out in November, we have a population of voters on the left who have been programmed that way now. And Democrats, communists, are smart enough to use that program. They know their base believes in this Russian collusion narrative. They've been programmed for years for it. And so, shoot, right away, Democrats in this election began planting those seeds.
What does he have on Donald Trump that he have to constantly be catering to Putin, telling Putin, go into these countries?
And why is Donald Trump so enamored of Putin? Well, part of it is he's a wannabe dictator.
Not only is there no evidence of any wrongdoing by President Biden, but it now appears as if the House Republican majority is being used by Russia to interfere in the 2024 election on behalf of Donald Trump. If they continue with this investigation, they are simply doing the work of Vladimir Putin to help Donald Trump win an election in November. That's where we are.
Your liberal Aunt Peggy sees that. It's again affirmation of what she already knows. The world of make-believe, the world of lies she's been programmed with. She sees things like that and she gets herself ready for more of it. And then, out of the blue, just happened recently, the DOJ, in conjunction with the FBI, had a press conference announcing that they'd uncovered some dastardly Russian involvement in the election. Millions of dollars, right-wingers. The media grabbed it and ran with it. And I'll give you this little tidbit here. I have sources myself. It's weird to say, but I have sources myself. Sources inside the belly of the beast. The DOJ slash FBI rolled out the latest Russian indictments for early voting. It's an op. It's not designed to help the election. And here's one for you. Did you know there are more coming? They didn't want to do them all at once. So there will be more indictments coming for right-wingers for taking Russian money. Let's see how many on our side are dumb enough to fall for it. I know for a fact liberal Aunt Peggy will fall for it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Lee Smith is going to join us. He knows all about the first Russian hoax. Let's dig into that with him. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day.
obviously the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify that.
It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Look at that apparatchik sit there and argue with Donald Trump. He was right. I should know. It's undeniable. All the evidence is there now. It's all been exposed. Leslie Stahl was lying. Trump was right. And that's how it works in this country. Joining me now, my friend Lee Smith, a wonderful author. I read everything he writes. He has a new book out, I should note, called Disappearing the President. You might want to pick that one up. Okay, Lee, let's pretend like people forget, because people do forget. There are so many scandals and so many new things all the freaking time. Can you explain, for those of us who forget, how did the whole FBI spying on Trump begin? What happened in the beginning? How did all this start?
Well, you know, Jesse, something very important that we forget all the time, which I want to highlight, is that, first of all, I have to say, I'm thinking about something that you tweeted the other day when you were talking about the centrality of Barack Obama. And I looked at that, what you tweeted, and I'm like, yay, thank you, Jesse Kelly, for saying this, because I hear deep state, I hear administrative state, I hear managerial class, I hear the blob, I hear everything. And all of these abstractions make it much harder for us to deal with what's really going on and has been going on since at least 2016. And that's Barack Obama. And the person who identified that first was none other than Donald Trump. In a March 2017 tweet, I'm talking about Russiagate here, when he said, wow, just found out Obama had my phones tapped at Trump Tower. And everyone said, that's outrageous. That's crazy. That makes no sense. But of course, that's actually what happened. Did he precisely have his wires tapped or his phones tapped? Was the, you know, do we still use that language now? No, it was a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant on the Trump circle. Right. So that's precisely what happened. And so I think that's where we have to start. We have to start by remembering that all of these people, all of the spy chiefs involved in this were Barack Obama's spy chiefs. So I'm so glad to get a chance to, because I was going to tweet or I was going to text you and say, thank you, Jesse. God bless you for bringing that up. But that's actually also a major part of this book, Disappearing the President. We don't have pre-orders available yet, but we will soon. But to talk about the role of Barack Obama, and it starts, Donald Trump is the first person to identify it with that tweet.
How did we get, you're 100% right, and I want people to get it, but how did we get from Barack Obama, his poisonous intel guys, to the Steele dossier from Hillary Clinton? Connect those worlds for me, Lee.
Well, I mean, the Steele dossier, this is something, there's a basic misunderstanding about this, right? Because when Christopher Steele came out, he was described as this, you know, British super spy, right? That's how important that's what a great man he was, that he'd found. And of course, less than a month, he'd found this incredible secret relationship between Donald Trump and the Kremlin, right? That was the story. Nothing of the sort happened. The way to understand Christopher Steele is he was an FBI informant, right? That's who Steele was. He had one time worked for British intelligence, but he also worked for Russian oligarchs based in London. Steele was a confidential informant. That's who was hired, right? The Clinton campaign hired an FBI confidential informant to do the Steele dossier, right? So again, this is important to keep in mind. At the time, we were surprised to see in 2017, 2018, we were surprised to see, oh my goodness, the Clinton campaign paid for this. It must be all about them. Hillary Clinton, that the campaign paid for it, is very important. But something, again, that we must not forget, it's so crucial, is that all of these spy chiefs were working for Barack Obama. And Barack Obama was, in fact, read into Russiagate, the anti-Trump plot, right? John Brennan tells us this in his handwritten notes, that Barack Obama was aware of what the Clinton campaign was doing by vilifying Donald Trump as a Russian agent. So Jesse, I just think it's so important now, looking at the Steele dossier and looking at other things that have happened since then, whether it's the special counsel investigation, the Mueller investigation, whether it's the impeachments of Donald Trump, whether it's January 6th, whether it's these various cases against Donald Trump, the DOJ cases, the Fulton County case, right, the Alvin Bragg case in Manhattan. It's really important for us to see these as all instruments of the Barack Obama faction, which is the way to think about what's happened here since at least 2016.
Lee, can you explain why Russia? Okay, and obviously, as we've talked about, as you know, as I know, everything ties back to that dirty communist Obama, right, getting in the government, running out anyone remotely normal and filling up the government with Maoists. But why Russia? Where'd this come from?
I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with, I think it's perhaps a Cold War habit. Right. One of the surprising things, which I believe that you've remarked on, Jesse, is as much as anyone, it's like, so since when does the left have problems with Russia, right? I mean, we know that this was one of our core problems during the course of the Cold War, the left's adoration of the Soviet Union. So I think this was one of the threads. I think that that's one of the reasons that they looked at Russia. There were other reasons too. There were intelligence service problems with the Russians, right, dating back to Ukraine in 2014. So this is another issue. But I also think that this is one of the major tells, right? Because as I've described frequently, there is no American president who's been more pro-Moscow than Barack Obama, right? Whether this was Eastern Europe with Ukraine and Russia, or whether this was the Middle East, especially Syria. Let's remember what Barack Obama did in order to preserve the Iran nuclear deal. He got the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad to turn over his unconventional weapons to Vladimir Putin. So this was Putin helping out Obama. And no one will ever forget the line that Obama whispered to Dmitry Medvedev, tell Vlad that after the next election, I'll have more flexibility. So the idea, this should have been a tell for people inside of Washington, but of course it was not. But the fact how close Barack Obama was to Putin, how close he was to Moscow, the idea that the same people who were describing Obama's closeness to Moscow and how this was a good thing in Syria turned around, the same sources turned around and said, ooh, look out for Donald Trump. He has all these ties to Vladimir Putin. So that should have been a tell.
Lee, tell me about this book, Disappearing the President.
Well, I mean, this is really, you know, what we do is here, what the story I'm telling is, it starts off with It starts off with Russiagate, and it comes to the present. It shows the, you know, you see on the cover one of the iconic photographs of President Trump standing up at the Butler rally. But it really goes through this real attack on Donald Trump, on the country. And again, I think one of the most crucial parts of the book is it shows what Barack Obama did from 2016 to the present. Again, reminding people of Barack Obama's hand in this. It's not a mystery of what's going on. It's not a mystery that Joe Biden was an avatar. We talk about who's running the government now. Well, this was a question that most of us have been asking since Joe Biden took office. And most of us have pointed out it's Barack Obama, right? And that's what's happening with Kamala Harris, too. So while it also explains the anti-Trump plot from 2016 to the present, it also explains this whole idea of the deep state. We need to really focus. We need to bear down and show what's really going on here. It's about the Barack Obama faction.
Lee, my brother, you are the best. Come back, join me anytime, as you know. All right. We have Senator Ron Johnson. He remembers a lot of this stuff. We'll talk to him next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a really big deal, and I know people are still confused by it, but there's no question any longer. The Russians actively interfered in our election to help Donald Trump. There is no hoax. It's true.
But it was a hoax, yet they're still running with it, and they're still rolling out new Russian stuff every single day. Joining me now, a great senator from the state of Wisconsin. We don't have many of them, Ron Johnson. Senator, what do you remember most about that Hillary Clinton Russia hoax thing? I thought it was so absurd. Right when they came out with it, I just thought it was ridiculous. But man, they took that ball and ran with it, and they're still running to this day.
Yeah, they've used Russia ever since the DNC server got hacked. And those emails started coming out. They were really devastatingly bad, people like John Podesta and Democrats in general. And so they came up with this Russia hacked into the DNC server. And then they got CrowdStrike to say that, yeah, it was Russia that hacked in. We've never seen verification of that, but it worked so well. It was such a great diversion to say, hey, let's try it again. And so the Hillary Clinton campaign, of course, they're the ones that paid for the Steele dossier. One of the subsources of that was somebody the FBI was investigating as a Russian spy. The FBI knew that. They understood that the Steele dossier was a Hillary Clinton political dirty trick And yet we have end up with a Mueller investigation. We've literally, our country's been put through this political turmoil for years now based on that lie, that political dirty trick. So again, it's galling to listen to a Hillary Clinton, you know, talk like that. But the fact of the matter is they have the mainstream media who knows that they know that that they got played, that the Russian collusion, it was all a hoax. They've never, you know, gotten upset at the people that fed them the false information. They continue to cover up and lie for the Democrat Party because they are basically the communication arm of the Democrat Party. It's not a level playing field. It's not a fair fight.
People forget John Durham came out after his investigation and pretty much confirmed what you just said. Here he was.
As our report details, the FBI was too willing to accept and use politically funded and uncorroborated opposition research such as the Steele dossier. The FBI relied on the dossier in FISA applications, knowing that it was likely material originating from a political campaign, a political opponent. In this instance, there are any number of significant red flags that were raised that were simply ignored. If there's evidence that was inconsistent with the narrative, they didn't pay attention to it. They didn't explore it. They didn't take the logical investigative steps that should have been taken.
Senator, why was nobody at the FBI ever held to account for that? Hillary Clinton and the media being filthy liars is nothing that's going to shock anybody watching this show. And it's honestly not anything that can destroy the country, but a state police agency that lies like that for the reasons it lied, that can destroy a country. What's going on at the FBI?
Because Joe Biden won the election and it was all covered up. So these people have never been held to account. And by the way, fast forward from 2016 to 2020, and then the greatest amount of political interference in U.S. history occurred right before the 2020 election. This was all prompted by the current Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, prompted Mike Morrell, you know, former assistant or deputy director of the CIA, to get this letter signed by 51 intelligence officials, both Republican and Democrat. It shows you how deep and pervasive the deep state is, to say the Hunter Biden laptop, even though the FBI knew it was genuine, that it was accurate, they signed the letter saying that it had all the hallmarks of a Russian information operation. Well, that letter itself was an information operation, interfered in our election to the far greater extent than anything Russia or China could ever hope to accomplish. And of course, the mainstream media ran with it and still have not held those individuals accountable. So again, the only way these people get held accountable is if Donald Trump wins in 2024, we get the majorities in the House and the Senate, and then we can try to hold them accountable. My guess is that President Trump will want to do so.
How many times have the FBI and intelligence agencies run operations against the American people for political purposes? You and I have been talking for about, 3 or 4 minutes now, and we just laid out some pretty frightening things taking place from within the government. How often does this happen? Do these organizations see themselves as having a role in our elections?
So why do you think that we've never released, even though it's by law, they're supposed to release all the documents of the JFK assassination? You know, what I've been learning about what happened with Richard Nixon, and I was back there reading Time magazine going, yeah, let's get this guy, he's, you know, corrupt. You know, what you find out now is, well, Deep Throat was the deputy director of the FBI. All the plumbers were CIA agents. The primary person who pushed the cover up was John Dean, who got off scot-free, has been made a hero in the mainstream media. So I don't know. I think our federal government has been lying to us for decades. And they'll continue to lie to us as long as people don't understand it, if they're never held accountable. That's one of the reasons it's so important to hold these people accountable. You know, when we've got them, when we know what has happened, we have to hold them accountable.
What can Trump and the Senate do if he is elected? And I ask this because people who don't really necessarily understand how the government works, how the laws work, they think to themselves Trump can get elected and he can just walk in and fire every FBI agent or something along those lines, or that Ron Johnson can do that. But you can't. Okay, that's fine. What can we do?
I think it starts with releasing the JFK assassination files. And we'll find out what a grotesque cover-up the Warren Commission was. And I think truth will be revealed there. again, I've read enough in terms of books that it's pretty obvious there was some involvement, some connection there. I don't know all of it, but it gets pretty detailed in terms of, you know, who knew what when and who did what when. But first release that so that the American public realize, oh, we have been lied to. You know, one of the reasons I've been pushing, you know, so hard on COVID and the vaccine mandates and the vaccine injuries is our federal government during COVID completely lied to us. They were the ones who were pushing misinformation. They're the ones that sabotaged early treatment with the use of cheap generic drugs that worked. And because of their sabotage, probably hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives that didn't have to. Okay, so you have to use those instances where we just have them cold, where it's obvious these people have lied and cheated. Now, we'll still have to overcome the power of the media because they're complicit in this. They don't want to be caught. They're not going to admit they were wrong. You know, you're not going to hear any mea culpas coming out of the media. I mean, for example, where are the Washington Post giving back their Pulitzer Prizes for the Russian collusion hoax? They're not doing it. So again, it's not going to be easy, but I just have to believe, Jesse, or I wouldn't be still doing this, that eventually truth will have its own power, but it has to get out. And that's what Trump has to do. He has to release the JFK assassination files. That will be, again, hopefully the unraveling of the deep state and the exposure of these lies that we've been told for decades.
I agree with you. I think those things need to be released. Trump has promised to release them, but that also begs the question, Senator, why have they never been released? JFK died in 1963. Here we are in the year of our Lord, 2024. It's a long time ago. So very clearly, some entity with a significant amount of power doesn't want those things released. What other conclusion can I possibly draw from all this?
Again, Trump, when he got elected, had told people that he was going to release those. Then apparently Mike Pompeo, then the CIA director, went to him and just begged him not to release them, and Trump didn't. I think Trump regrets that decision. I don't think he'll make the same mistake if he gets elected again. So, you know, again, hope that Trump wins this election, and I can't imagine he won't honor that promise. I think those documents. Now, the question will be, will people in the deep state actually release all the documents? So it's not exactly like those are sitting in Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Finally, you know, we're going to have to rely on the deep state to release the documents in total. We'll have to probably investigate whether that's actually happened or not.
Oh, gosh, that's going to be spicy. Senator, thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. He brings up an excellent point. And I've been told this several times from people who know that the release of those JFK files, it's not old news. It's not something old. It's really, really important. And again, I'll bring this up. There's only one reason you wouldn't release those files. It would be to protect someone, but someone, that wouldn't make any sense. Anyone who could possibly, any individual who could possibly have been involved in the JFK assassination is either fart and dust or almost dead. So if it's not to protect an individual, then it's to protect an institution of some kind. Might be very, very revealing about what's been going on inside our federal government for quite a while, no? Anyway, we'll get some little tidbits from Margo Cleveland next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
American people are entitled to know when a foreign power is attempting to exploit our country's free exchange of ideas in order to send around its own propaganda. And that is what we alleged happened in this case.
Whether it's China, Iran, Russia, or any other country, attempts to meddle in our elections or destabilize our free and open society represent attacks on our democracy. And as long as foreign adversaries keep engaging in these hostile influence campaigns, they're going to keep running into the FBI.
Our democracy. Wild how they all just adopt the communist language. And it's crazy, right about election season, about the time everyone starts voting, the DOJ discovers some more Russian collusion. Whoa, scary. Joining me now, Margot Cleveland, senior legal correspondent with The Federalist. Margot. Accurate or not, I can't speak to the validity or accuracy of any of the charges or the indictment, but the timing is so obvious, it's painful to me, and even more painful to that, the people on our side who don't recognize it.
It is absolutely obvious, and the part that to me is the most ridiculous is our government and Attorney General Garland, as well as the FBI director, have done more to interfere in our elections, whether it was covering up the Hunter Biden scandal with a laptop, or if it was the Russia hoax back in 2016, or the 51 intelligence community agents who signed that letter. Our government has done more to meddle than Russia has.
Margot, can you explain what exactly we're looking at here? I'm talking about the effectiveness of the op. Does this stuff work on the American people still? It sure seems to me like it works from what I see.
It's because we still have half the country who hates Trump. So anything that they can hook onto, they will. About half the country still believes that there was Russia collusion. I think there's like 30% of Democrats who actually believe that Russia changed votes to get Trump elected. So, yeah, it still works on a portion of society. But I also think we want to look at this from a bigger picture. Every country, ourselves included, tries to push its own narrative in other countries and in its own. You have it going on with Ukraine now. You have it with the Biden administration trying to put pressure on Israel when Hamas executes six hostages, including one of our own. What do? They come out with this narrative that Israel hasn't done enough. Why? Because they don't like Netanyahu, and they're trying to get him pressured out as prime minister. Every country does this. This is a normal thing. What we really should be talking about is, what about these stories? If Russia is coming out and peddling something, I want to know if it's true or false. I don't care that it's Russia. I care about the truth. And our government has been doing so much to hide things, whether it was about COVID, whether it was about the Hunter Biden laptop. If we're going to get the truth from Russia, then so be it. Let's get the truth.
Okay, so I want to rewind and talk about the Hunter Biden thing, because what a lot of people forget that Antony Blinken actually played a role in all this. Antony Blinken didn't wake up one day and just get handed the prestigious spot of Secretary of State, did he, Margot? He had to put in some work.
He was absolutely involved with this whole approach. He and other members of the Biden campaign were the ones who came up with this idea of putting this letter together. And that is one of the biggest pieces of misinformation that you got. And what did they do? They played it off as this is Russia disinformation that they're trying to meddle in our election. Again, going back to the point, it was our government, our former officials, and now some of our current officials who were the ones doing the meddling.
Margot, something that isn't talked about, miraculously, is China. This country puts intelligence operatives in positions of power right next to our politicians, everyone from senators to congressmen, city council members. They're spying using technology. It's pervasive, and yet we never hear about them, Margot.
Well, you'll hear about it every now and then when an indictment breaks or someone gets kicked out of someone's high up government position. But it is very ironic that there's more concern about what is going on with Russia in the media, where we can see it and you can have fact checking, you can have counterpoints, versus China, which is actually in bed, sometimes literally, with government officials.
Wow. Nancy Pelosi's been out there saying, well, a few Democrats have been saying things like this recently.
What do you think Putin has on him? I mean, it sure seems like something, as you've said a few times, given that he refuses to criticize him, that he seems to be a fanboy of him.
So maybe I don't know what he has on him, but I think it's probably financial. I think it's probably financial, either something financial he has on him or something on the come.
Yeah, well, let me ask about that.
Yeah, speaking of financial ties with Russia, Ukraine, and all that, Democrats have a few of those, don't they?
They sure have those ties, and it is coming from Biden and Hunter, who had the ties with the former mayor's wife, the former Moscow mayor's wife, or with Ukraine. And maybe you want to ask yourself why so much money is going there. But Pelosi's point is just ridiculous. Donald Trump has been the most investigated man ever. If there was something that Russia had on him, they would have found it.
Thank you, Margot. I appreciate it. Come back soon. All right. We have final thoughts. Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When they say Democrats are cult members, when you hear things like that, you should understand it's true. They have been programmed. They don't know they've been programmed, but they have been programmed by the hive mind to believe things that simply are not true. Your neighborhood Democrat genuinely believes that the Russians are on Donald Trump's side and that they've spent years infiltrating elections, cheating in elections to aid the Russian asset Donald Trump. It's, of course, completely insane, created and made up, as you just learned over the last hour. But that's not important. What is important is we have cult members in this country, brain-dead drones, who believe that. They are known as Democrats. Let us attempt to wake them up slowly but surely. All right? All right. We'll do it again.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.